Just the end of the show yesterday, so we just barely be able to produce a little bit of a theme about Yom Kippur, so we'll just recap for a moment and get us into what we want to talk about today. So we mentioned a dual question about the phrase Lifnei Hashem Tetaru. We wanted to know whether Lifnei Hashem Tetaru is a mitzvah, or is a chiyuv, something that we're actively supposed to be mitar ourselves, whatever that means. Well, Lifnei Hashem Tetaru is more of a haftacha. It's a statement of fact. The Rebbe Shlomo is telling us that, by the way, you should just know, now, on Yom Kippur, you're going to reach the state of Tahara. It's unclear what the nature of Lifnei Hashem Torah is. Ibidim Tum Salaimar, that Lifnei Hashem Torah is a mitzvah, is a chiyuv, so it's also not clear what kind of Tahara is the pasuk referring to. So the word Tahara, usually in Halacha, is synonymous with Tuchus Tumah V'Tahara, going to the mikvah, etc. Whereas, in the context of this pasuk, it sounds like it's a little bit of a different type of a Tahara, more of a Tahara min Averos. As the pasuk says, "Ki vayom hazeh yichap aleichem mataras chen kochot asechem l'shem titaru," we know that there are certain chatoim that are called tumah. There are certain chatoim that in halacha are considered to be tumah. Those were the shavamos a couple of years ago. Remember the regilia rayas. There's a very very specific halachic connotation of tumah. Avodah zorah is considered to be tumah. Shrichas dam is tumah. There are certain averas that carry with them a concept of a word phraseology of tumah. So chet in general is a notion of tumah. It could be that when the Torah speaks about Latara Eschem, even if it's the Torah Tzivoy, maybe it's not so much a Tzivoy to go to the mikvah in a physical sense, maybe it's more of a Tara Min Averis. Again, so we have three different possibilities. How to learn Sechlevei Shem Tetaru? Is it the Torah's Haftoch? It's not a Tzivoy altogether. Imtum is only that it's a Tzivoy, so the nature of the Tzivoy is unclear. So we mentioned at the end of the show yesterday, the Adirach HaShulchan saw in some words of Rav Sajigo, he claimed Rav Sajigo held, the Lifnei Hashem Tetaru is a chovas tevila, Imam Shafta Toivel. That's the source for the minig of going to the mikvah. And if Yom Kippur, it's not a minig, it's a mitzvah deraisa of Lifnei Hashem Tetaru. So we pointed out at the end of the show yesterday that nobody else says this. The Rosh for sure doesn't say this. The Rosh says you don't make a bracha on tevila on Erev Yom Kippur. And we pass in the mikvah din, you don't make a bracha. You don't really, it's not a chi of gomer to go to the mikvah on Yom Kippur. We so paskid that it's not a chi of gomer that the Rishonim have a machlokes. Let's say a person goes to the mikvah of Yom Kippur, and then they became tummy again on Yom Kippur night. They go to sleep, then they wake up, they became a Balkari on Yom Kippur night. So what should they do about it? So the Rishonim quote from the Rebbe Tzalonik, one of the early Rishonim, who says that you go to the mikvah on Yom Kippur itself. It's so important to be tar on Yom Kippur, if you're up to tar, so important. What Tfilah says, whatever the reason for the mikvah is so critical, such a halacha, that you do it even on Yom Kippur itself. You're not allowed to wash yourself, not allowed to bathe yourself in Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says in the end of Maseches Yuma, the very, very last phrase in Maseches Yuma, Kol Chai V'Tfilas Tovin Kedakim Yom Kippur. That if a person is chayef to go to the mikveh bizmano, so you go to the mikveh even in Yom Kippur itself. I am bathing myself. The answer is that's called the Tvila She'ena Shal Tainug. That's a Tvila Shal Mitzvah, the Rechita She'ena Shal Tainug. And Rechita She'ena Shal Tainug is not also. So since there's a very, very compelling need to do it, the Halacha labels the Tvila as a Tvila She'ena Shal Tainug, and therefore it's Mutter. So the summary shadow of the opinion that Tevila on Yom Kippur is so important to be Torah on Yom Kippur, that's Kedai to go even on Yom Kippur itself. If you came to me again for on Yom Kippur night, it's Kedai to go even on Yom Kippur itself, because that's also called Kol Chai V'Tevila Stav V'Kedai Kod. So the other Rishonim disagree with this. The other Rishonim say that it's not true, that we paskin that to go to the mikvah on Erev Yom Kippur is not so important. Become Torah and Yom Kippur is not so high. It's a nice thing, it's nice, it's beautiful, it's a nice idea. But in terms of being a real chiyuv, it's not a real chiyuv. And since it's not a real chiyuv, therefore we have no right to apply the rule of Kol Chai V'Tfilas Tov V'Kedachem Yom Kippurim. Because you're not a Chai V'Tfilas, it's not true. You're talking not a Chai to go to the mikvah. Like Moshe Lamad David Eimer, we find that even though the Gemara says that Kol Chai V'Tfilas Tov V'Kedachem Yom Kippurim, so Tosfos on the spot writes that we don't do this anymore. We don't follow what says in the Gemara anymore. Why don't we follow what says in the Gemara? So Tosfos says that this braisa was written at a time when they were still keeping the din of Tumah V'Tahara. So if a person became Tameh, it's a mitzvah, he's supposed to go to the mikvah as soon as he can. Because otherwise he's going to make the Truma Tameh, the Maaseh Sheni Tameh, the Kabbalah Tameh, it's going to be a disaster. So therefore, it's a real tzarech for him to go to the mikvah. So Kol Chai V'Tfilas Tov K'dachav Yom Kippur. It's a matter that we all come and make it. Nobody cares about Taras anymore. The only reason why people go to the mikvah is women go to the mikvah when they become a nida. So Taisus writes, so what's the big rush to go to Bikwi Yom Kippur night? Said they can't be with the husbands anyway. There's an Isatash Shemit in Yom Kippur. So what's the big idea? What's the big tzarech to go run to the Mikvah Yom Kippur? So that's not called Chavit Tfilas anymore. Not so important. Therefore, you push it off until the Yom Kippur. That's what Amminig is. That even the Gemara says Pem Mola, that women go to the Mikvah on Yom Kippur night. So Shulchan Aruch says they're not allowed it because that din was only true Bizman HaMikdash. It's not true Bizman HaZeh. So you see that whenever you have a tevila that's going to be mutter on Yom Kippur, you have to think it through a million times. Is it really, really dachuf? Is it really, really necessary? So one opinion the Rishonim felt that becoming tall, lifting Shabbat Torah, is so important in Yom Kippur, so it's even doiches, so to speak, the Yisr Rechitza, and we don't accept that. It's a little bit of a strange idea because why can't we be matir to go to the mikvah on Yom Kippur, even if it's not such a big tzarech, even if it's the women are not going to be the husbands anyway until tomorrow night, even if it's not a chiyuv. At the end of the day, it's not a rechitza shel tainug. At the end of the day, the only is a rechitza that's also a rechitza shel tainug. So in the Rishonim, you have this idea that it has to be a chiyuv. It's got to be an absolute chiyuv in order to label it as a not rechitza shel tainug. We wouldn't stand that role. We don't just analyze and say, well, we're not doing it for pleasure purposes. We're doing it for some halachic, quasi-halachic purposes. So it's automatically mutter. See, it's fair from the Rishonim not that way. You see from the Rishonim that unless we could justify it as being some official halachic purpose, so then that's by default, the starting point is it's called, the baseline is called Rechitza Shel Tainug. You have to explain away why it's not Rechitza Shel Tainug. So you better have a really, really justified reason. Just because you're doing it for some customary purpose, that's not enough. It's got to be a halachic reason in order to mefkia it from the shame of Rechitza Shel Tainug. Oh, so that's the same thing. So the reason that I was just going to say that in a moment. So that's what the Rishonim write also, that you're allowed to wash the tefillah yadayim in the morning when you wake up, because that's not called rechitza shel tainug. Whatever the tilos are absolutely chayav in, that's by definition not called rechitza shel tainug. So we assume that it's a big machlokes whether there is a chiyuv of tefillah yadayim for tefillah altogether. So we try, many people are machfid, but for the minuch, but they try to wash the tefillah yadayim. But according to other Rishonim, there's no such chiyuv. The chiyuv is only in the morning. So therefore, if a person washes the tefillah yadayim before mincha, even though he does it the rest of the year, he shouldn't do it on Yom Kippur, because it's not such a big tzarech, it's not such an ayayay that we're convinced that's such a tzarech. In the morning is a tzarech. That's what the Pesukim point out, that we have a minute where we wash our hands in Yom Kippur, we only wash until the nachos. Why is that? Because there's a machlokes that we've shown him how far the tefillah yadayim is. Is it to the end of the nachos or to the wrist? So all year long, the Pesukim say, why should you be cheap on the tefillah yadayim? You should do it tefillah yadayim on holidays. But in Yom Kippur, you only do it till the knuckles. Why can I say that I should wash my entire hands? It's not shel tainug. I'm washing it to be yotzei those shitas that say that I need it to my wrist. So why is that a problem? So you see the same pism, the same idea, that you have to have a real justification. Just because you're trying to be yotzei some chumrah, some minik, some midas chasidus or something, that's not a justification. It has to be something that's real bona fide halacha that requires that you do it. Then and only then will we declare that it's not rechitza shel tainug. Why that klal is true, I don't know. I don't understand why. I would have said it should all depend on what the person's intent is. But you see, klal from the Rishonim not that way. So yeah, getting back to that story. So we paskin in halacha that lifnei shabbat Torah probably doesn't mean the way the Rechashur is reading pshat and Rav Sajid go. So what does lifnei shabbat Torah mean? So maybe it does mean a chiyuv, but maybe it's a different type of a tara. Maybe it's a tara in terms of tshuva. If your hands are dirty, generally you're allowed to wash to get rid of the dirt. So let's assume for a moment that lifnei shabbat Torah is a chiyuv, but maybe it's not referring to tefila b'mikvah in a physical sense, maybe it's referring to mechila min avinus, being mechaper avinus, i.e. the mitzvah of doing tshuva. So is that true? It's a strange question, but is there a mitzvah sayyom of doing tshuva in Yom Kippur? We know that every yontif carries with it a mitzvah sayyom. Rosh Hashanah, you have to hit a shelf, for instance, you've got to shake a lulav, pesach, eat matzah. Every yontif has a different, most yontif have a mitzvah sayyom to it. What is the mitzvah sayyom of Yom Kippur? So obviously, one of the mitzvah sayyom is to fast. It's not only an isser to eat on Yom Kippur, it's a mitzvah sesi as well. So the Rambam opens up Pikul Shvisas also by telling us that there's a mitzvah sesi in the Torah, v'nisim asav shaseichem, and then there's a lav in the Torah, kichol nefesh, to eat on Yom Kippur. So one of the obvious, the most important mitzvah sayyom is the mitzvah of to be tzom, to fast. But is there another mitzvah sayyom? Is there a mitzvah tshuva? Is there a mitzvah vidu? Is there a mitzvah kapar? Is there a mitzvah tetaru in the sense of being chayzeh tshuva on Yom Kippur? So some of the Rishonim write that yes, some of the Rishonim present, and actually Rabbeinu Yonah quotes the pasuk lifnei shabbat Torah as a source that you're supposed to be mitayeh yourself, and we know that Chazal instituted all the, in the Shemoneh Esrei, saying Vidur, has Chazal instituted saying Vidur, the way we do at the end of each of the Shemoneh Esreis. So according to some Rishonim, that's mamash a fulfillment of this mitzvah of Lifnei Hashem to Torah. It's a real chayvus hayom in terms of a tshuva. According to these Rishonim, the person doesn't do tshuva on Yom Kippur, so he was, besides losing the opportunity to do tshuva, he was mevatel on mitzvah esrei, he was mevatel the opportunity, he was mevatel the mitzvah, it's like the person didn't hear shofar. So if you look at the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, you don't exactly get this impression from the Rambam. The Rambam, when he talks about the fact that Chazal Mesakim to say Vidi on Yom Kippur, so the Rambam introduces to you by telling you a little bit what some of the Koach HaYoim of Yom Kippur is. So the Rambam introduces by saying that Yom Kippur is Ketz Aslicha Mechil Yisrael. It's the final day of the Aseret Mitzvah. The person could do tshuva the entire year, but the Gemara says the fourth breath of Yivamus, we have a tradition that the phrase Dir Shoshem B'Yimotzo, that there are certain times of the year when the Kodesh Baruch Hu is closer. The Gemara says that Dir Shoshem B'Yimotzo, so that that refers specifically to the Aseret Hayom, to the 10 days of Aseret Hayom tshuva. The Gemara says at the end of the fourth breath of Yivamus that Menashe was a big Russia, and he didn't like Yeshayahu HaNavi too much. He wanted to kill Yeshayahu HaNavi. Why? Because he accused him, he wanted to kill him because he didn't like that he was giving him Musa, but he accused him of being a Navi Sheker. So he had three accusations against the Navi Yeshayahu. He said that there are three things that Yeshayahu wrote in his Navua that are against the Torah. So Menash was the Ovid of Adizar, the Rasha Marusha. He was causing everybody to be Ovid of Adizar. He threw away, got rid of all the Sefer Torah, he had everything. He was one of the biggest Rishonim ever lived. And he decided to accuse Yeshayahu HaNavi of being a Navi Sheker. It's a crazy world. It was a crazy world. Still a crazy world. Still you must be sure it will be a crazy world. So one of the accusations that Nasha had against Yeshayahu was, it says in the Navi Yeshayahu, Dir Shoshem B'Motzo, Kubi Yosakarov, it's against the Pasir Chumash. But it says, Mika Hashem Elocheinu B'chol Kareinu Eilam. What it says in Pashas Veschanan, that the Baruch Shalom listens to us all the time. So how dare Yeshayahu limit that ability of Rosh Hashanah to listen? You claim that Rosh Hashanah listens at certain times, be Himotso, be Yosakarov, only certain times of the year when he's around, the Chom Kareinu Eilam. So the Gemara says they wanted to kill Yeshayahu and Navi. So the Gemara asks, so obviously Yeshayahu wasn't a Navi Shekhar, he was a Navi Emes. So the Gemara asks in Yivam, so Tach Motzi Yenzi Terekasha. Even a Rosh Hashanah, Ovid of Azara, Ratzech, sometimes there's a good Kasha, so Tach a good Kasha. So the Gemara says, low Kasha, can be Yachi, can be Tzibur. The Gemara says that B'chol Kareinu means when the Tzibur davens, when Klal Yisrael davens, the whole Tzibur gets together and davens, so that's B'chol Kareinu. Then the entire year, anytime, 24/7, the Baruch Shalom will listen. Dir Shoshem B'Yimotzo was given to a Yochid. That's the Zman for Yochid. The Gemara says, Eimas, when is B'Yimotzo? When is Yosakarov? The Gemara says, Eilos Ayyamim, Shebein Rashon Yom HaKippur. So the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva quotes that Gemara and says that Yom Kippurim is the Ketz Slicha Mechil Yisrael, and therefore the Rambam says Ulefikach Chayav Adam Loshav Lisvados Yom Kippurim, because it's the Sol Slicha Mechil Kapara, therefore a person is Mechuyav to say Vidur to do Tshuva on Yom Kippur. So you get the impression from the Rambam that the Mechayav of doing Tshuva on Yom Kippur is not a Mitzvah Hayoyim. It's not that Lifnei Hashem. He doesn't quote Dichsiv Lifnei Hashem Tar, but he only quotes Lifnei Hashem Tar. Rambam doesn't say that. The Rambam almost presented as being that because of the unique opportunity that Yom Kippur has, therefore you're bechuyov to do tshuva. But the Lashon of Rambam is a little bit funny. What's the mechayev? What the Rambam should say is because it's slicha mechil chapara, therefore if you have a half a brain in your head, you'll do tshuva. If I do tshuva today, so Baruch Shalom is promising me to accept it. If I wait till Yud Aleph Tishrei, I have a 50-50 chance. Maybe it'll work, maybe it won't work. Only if it's sincere tshuva, only if I find the tzibah to do tshuva with. So it's a better investment. You have to put in half the work on Yom Kippur. You might as well do work on Yom Kippur. Might as well do tshuva on Yom Kippur. So the Rambam doesn't sound like it. The Rambam sounds like it's not just an opportunity, a better opportunity, more advantageous for you personally to do tshuva. It sounds like there's some kind of a chiyuv. So what is the mechayev exactly? What's the mechayev to do tshuva according to the Rambam? If you learn Rabbeinu Yonah, Lifnei Hashem to Torah, it's a mitzvah hayoyim, it's one of the Taig mitzvahs, okay? If you learn the Rambam, then it's not, never quotes that drash of Lifnei Hashem to Torah. What is it that obligates me, so to speak, to do tshuva on Yom Kippur? So the answer to this is, based on a famous comment from Yisrael Salanter, that on another Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva. The Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva quotes the Gemara Maseches Rosh Hashanah that a person is a benini, mechtz chayav, mechtz potter, mechtz mitzvah, mechtz averus, and a person has to always view themselves as being a benini. You have to view everybody else as being tzaddikim. That's why when we wish people on Rosh Hashanah, we wish them siva. Why do we say l'chaim alta? Well, what does that mean? That's a quote right out of the Gemara Maseches Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara says that on Rosh Hashanah, so the tzaddikim gemurim on nechtavim nechtam li'altar. That there, the din is immediately. The Rosh Hashanah decides immediately for them what the psak din is going to be. It's going to be a ksiva and a chasima. In Shemayim, for the tzaddikim, you don't really need this yesh mechuvah. It's a nice thing to have. But you don't really need Yom Kippur because you already have everything was ready nigzar nichtam nichtam al tachem tam shalom on Rosh Hashanah. So when we greet everybody else, we're supposed to be betzedek tishbon amisech. We're supposed to be dan people chavzchos. So we're not supposed to think other people are merely bainanim. We're supposed to think that they're tzaddikim. So we give them the greeting of li'al tachem tam shalom. For ourselves though, we're very very nervous. You shouldn't think that you're a Russia, that you're nechtam l'misari, if there's no hope. On the other hand, don't be a balkayv even. Think that you're sitting in coasting for the Seres Mechuba. Everyone's supposed to be nervous during the Seres Mechuba. We are baining him. So we don't know. We don't know where we're coming or going. So therefore, during the Seres Mechuba, we treat ourselves as baining him. So the Rambam makes a calculation. The Rambam writes, because we treat ourselves as baining him, therefore a person has to always think during the Seres Mechuba that if you do one mitzvah, you may put yourself over the edge. If you do one avera, so you'll end up the edge in the other direction. So that's the Rambam's math should have been. But the Rambam doesn't exactly say that. Well, one would have expected the Rambam to say exactly what I just said, that you're 50-50 to do a mitzvah. Now again, we're talking about 50-50. It doesn't mean that the Ribbono Shel Olam, it's not an even count. It doesn't mean, okay, I put on tefillin this morning, but I killed somebody this afternoon. You know, I'm wearing tzitzis, but I was over the bazaar. That's not the way it works. That the Rambam writes that obviously there's a quality of mitzvah, quality of aveiros. And we don't know what this chai mitzvah, what the aveir is. Only the Ribbono Shel Olam knows that. No human being knows what the cheshbon mitzvah and the cheshbon aveir is. When we speak about bainanim, it's not that there's a squash in Shemayim. There's 157 equal. No. You can have one mitzvah that's worth a million aveirs. You got one aveir, it's worth a million mitzvahs. So we can never even begin to figure that out. I remember when I was a little kid, somebody must have told me this idea of how, you know, Kadosh Baruch Hu counts mitzvahs connected to aveiros, and all you have to be is one over the top to be good. So I decided, oh, what a good thing, I'll always make sure that I'm over the top. So I had this idea, I was maybe 8, 9 years old, so I had a little bit of a misunderstanding of what's considered to be a mitzvah, what's not considered to be a mitzvah, but I would keep a couple of weeks, after a few weeks, I ran out of steam in this cheshbon. We used to try to keep count as to what, where was all of that. They never told me this other Rambam. They never told me that there's no way to really know how to keep count. So some things I probably get right, you know. If I give some tzedakah, so if I count it as a mitzvah, if I daven nicely, count that as a mitzvah. If I punch somebody in the nose in the recess or something, maybe that was an aveira. If I scream back at my parents, maybe that was an aveira. That's like a little bit of an inkling as to what mitzvah is, what aveira. But I remember one particular thing that I clearly didn't have an exact understanding of. I was under the impression every time you kissed the mezuzah, that's a mitzvah. It's a Ramah. The Ramah doesn't even say to kiss the Ramah, says to touch the mezuzah. So I must have left my grandmother, you always have to kiss the mezuzah. So I assumed that was a mitzvah. That was a fairly easy mitzvah. So I remember there were times when, at the end of the day, when things weren't so good, and I didn't want to go to sleep feeling guilty, I got into a few fights at recess. I had a little chutzah in class, so I was teetering on the balance there. So I would walk in and out of the door a few times in my room and just, hop around a few extra mezuzah kissing, and that was a easy, halavai life should be so easy. Anyway. So the Rambam writes that on the Seres Mechuva, all year long, the Rambam says, your entire life you should really view yourself this way. But it says Mechuva Kal V'Chomer. So when the Rambam describes during Seres Mechuva how a person should feel, so the Rambam writes, you should view yourself as Mechza Mitzvah, Mechza Aveiros. And the Rambam writes, and therefore, in Asa Tshuva Mutov, in love you blew it. Rabbi, if you did tshuva during the Seres Mechuva, then you're great. And if you didn't do tshuva during the Seres Mechuva, then you're done. Then you're history. So the Rishon Salanta is bothered with the kasha. What's the b'chayv did tshuva at that time? Why doesn't the Rambam say, you're 50-50, put on tefillin today, and you're 51? Again, we don't know how many aveiros tefillin can knock off, but if the Rambam just told you you're 50-50, if the end of the day you have to view yourself as 50-50 and your goal with Seres Mechuva is to get you over the hump, is to get you to 50.001%, so do some mitzvah, put on tefillin, give a penny of tzedakah, learn a lot in the Gemara, listen to Shia, come to a Yom Iyun for Yom Kippur. There's so many mitzvahs you can make, designers on your muffin. There's so many different mitzvahs that you can do. So just pick one and call it a day. Why do you have to do tshuva for? What's the doing tshuva for? So Solanta said that no, the Rambam says that you never know which averas are connected which mitzvahs. You don't know what the sacha kol, what the calculation any given mitzvah or averas is. Says there's no Solanta. The person, you know, in the middle of November decides not to do tshuva. Okay, it's chaval. You know, the din is that if you do anytime you do an avera, you become a chuyuv to do tshuva. So if you don't do tshuva, that's a bitul mitzvah. So I didn't do tshuva in the middle of November. Chaval. I had a chance to get mechilas havainis, and I had a chance to fulfill a mitzvah being tshuva and vida, and I didn't take advantage of it. Chaval. So that cost me one. If you don't do tshuva on a Saturday of tshuva, to let Yom Kippur go by and not crazy the tshuva, that is such a profound chutzpah to the Rebbe Shalom. It's such a slap in the face, Chav Ishmaya. Here the Rebbe Shalom gives you an opportunity to yeshu v'yosel karov. It's Kate Slicha Mechir Yisrael. He's giving you an entire day dedicated to be chutzpah. You're not mechuyv, it's not a mitzayim. This guy's real brisk. He says, not a chiv hayoyim, not a chiv hayoyim, I'm not going to do tshuva. No. So the Bali Musa say, you're not going to do tshuva, it's chiv hayoyim. But you're mechuyev to do tshuva al's opportunity because the Rebbe Shalom gave you, the Rebbe Shalom gives you a gift and you throw it back in his face and say, I don't want it. And somebody comes and gives you a beautiful, beautiful wedding gift and you throw it back in the face. It's not nice. It's not, if you don't need it, so you go exchange for something else. You don't tell them, you don't throw it back in the face. Here the Rebbe Shalom gives you a matana toiva of tshuva and you throw it back and the Rebbe Shalom says, I'm not interested. I'm busy in Yom Kippur. I'm not interested in Mikhail's tshuva. So, even chachet gadol mitzvah says it's also answered. There's no mitzvah you could possibly do during a sesh mitzvah that will offset the damage done by the not doing tshuva. So, the guy's going to make a cheshbon. I'm 50-50 in Rosh Hashanah. No problem. I'll put a tefillah, give some tzedakah, and say, tell him I need to make a mezonos on my muffin, and call it a day. That's four extra mitzvahs. But now you didn't do tshuva. That not doing tshuva is not just a bitul mitzvah. Not doing tshuva is the absolute bizyainis of bizyainis to Ribbono Shel Olam. It's the ultimate lack of a karsa tov to Ribbono Shel Olam to take advantage of that gift of tshuva. Ain't l'sachmi. There is nothing in the world. There is no, you can do all the chasadim and all the mitzvahs, davin shpenesi for the next 10 years. There is nothing you can possibly do to offset the not doing tshuva during the sesh mitzvah. So the answer to the question is, are you mechuyev to do tshuva in Yom Kippur? The answer is yes. Is it chavis hayoyim? Is it like shaking lulav? No. There is no, it's not one of the tag mitzvahs. It's the same mitzvah doing tshuva as the rest of the year. There's nothing unique about Yom Kippur. It's not a mitzvah prati from Yom Kippur. It's the mitzvah tshuva. But because it's a self kate slich b'chil Yisrael, because it has that opportunity connected to it, the lack of doing is such a profound chate that it's nothing you can do to possibly rectify the loss, the damage done by that chate of not doing tshuva on Yom Kippur. So at the end of the day, we've seen that the phrase lift the Shem the Torah, that pivotal word about Yom Kippur, can go in multiple ways. Either it's b'taras chiyuv, it's b'taras opportunity, it's b'taras avtacha, whether it means tefillah b'mikvah, whether it means chazar b'tshuva. It's very, very unclear what lifnei Shem b'Torah means. But we've almost set up for ourselves almost like two different models. Like either you're going down the halachic model of lifnei Shem b'Torah of tefillah b'mikvah, or you're going down the more spiritual, aveira, you know, tshuva, vidui model of being chayzi b'tshuva. And it's almost like the two different models, two different elevator, two very, very different interpretations. So it could be that these two interpretations, these two chalokim, these two biyurim of what lifnei Shem b'Torah mean, are really almost one and the same. There is a deeper meaning between the going to the mikvah, and again, whether going to the mikvah is a chiyav, whether it's a minig, is a chiyav, a deraisa, whatever you want to call it, going to the mikvah for the kohen gadol is for sure important. I think we're going to hear a shiur about that later, 2:30, about the halachic ramifications of tefillas kohen gadol, halach l'maisa b'zman hazeh ramifications, so we'll see what we can make up in terms of that. So tevila and tahara clearly plays an important role, a significant role in terms of the halachic tevila, and tahara min averus also is a clear major theme of Yom Kippur. So perhaps there's a very real and deep connection between tevila b'mikvah and tahara min averus and chazar b'tshuvah, based on a couple of different important nekudot, important all year long, but especially important on this time of year. The Rambam, in the very last Rambam in Hilchos Mikvos, Ram Kedarka B'Kedish, we've pointed out many times, and the Ram at the end of a Sefer always gives you some Divrei Chizuk V'Yisayrus. If you collect the 14 last Rambam, the beautiful words of inspiration, really, really from the heart, from the Rambam. So the very end of Hilchos Mikvos, which is the last Chelik of Halachos of Sefer Tara, so the Ram gives you some kind of a summary, some kind of Musar, that Hilchos Mikvos and Tumah V'Tara in general could speak to a person. So the Rambam writes that Tevila B'Mikvah is a Chav. There's no way any human being is going to really understand how it is you go into Bikr and become Torah. The Ram writes, the tumah is not dirt. It's not that your body's dirty and you go to take a, you know, take a bath. It's not that. It's clearly something very, very spiritual. Clearly something which is beyond the realm of human comprehension. Which the Rambam writes that not only is tefillah v'mikvah beyond human comprehension, tumah v'tahara in general is that area of halacha that's beyond human comprehension, which is not a surprise because tumah v'tahara is very much linked to mikdash. The reason why most of tumah v'tahara we don't have is banazeh, because we don't have a base of mikdash anymore. That's what the Sefer Kuzari describes, the discussion between the rabbi and the Melech HaKuzarim. Melech HaKuzarim is collecting all the world religions and trying to figure out which one he's going to adopt. So he asks the rabbi some questions, he asks the priest some questions, he asks the head of Islam some questions. So one of the questions that he poses to the three different leaders is the notion that it appears that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's words, so to speak, have changed over the years. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said one thing at one time and then he changed his mind. So that's exactly what the Christians believe, and that's exactly what the Muslims believe. That they taka do believe that there was Moshe Kibbutz Har Sinai. They all agree to the words of the Tanakh. They all agree there was Maimon Har Sinai. It's an unbelievable thing if you think about it, that the entire world, that, I mean, again, there is the eastern part of the world, and there are religions, and there are parts of the world that we don't have that much of a contact with, or didn't have until fairly recently. But if you think about it, what we call the overwhelming majority of the, because I guess Lachbeta was called the civilized world, at least Western civilization for sure, including the Eastern civilization, including the Muslim world. So you're talking about a really, really big chunk of humanity all subscribes to Moshe Kibbutz Har Sinai. Well, nice that they do. Whether every single person is religious or not, everyone is a mom and a mamin, but the world, the major, three major world religions all believe Bamuna Shalema, Moshe Kibbutz Har Sinai. So what happened? So two out of the three religions went off the deep end. They said that, yes, Moshe Kibbutz Har Sinai, but something changed by Eisu Ish, and yes, something changed by also Navi. That was Navi Shek. That was the thrust of the religion. They believed in Tanakh. They believed in the word of the Baruch Shem to Moshe Rabbeinu. They believed in the Amanifchar of Klal Yisrael. They all believed that. And then they said, but something changed hundreds and thousands of years later. So our response to that is that that's a contradiction in terms. You can't believe in Moshe Kibbutz Har Sinai, you can't believe in Tanakh, and then turn around and say that everything was changed. Because in the Tanakh itself, in the Chumash itself, it says, Pemole, that's never going to change. HaNiglos Lonov Olenu Adonim Masas Kudivet Terezos, Komosh Hosechem Derosechem, Chukas Olam Derosechem, the Torah is Yevagam B'choy Aminu Liolam, the Torah says it multiple times, that the Torah is always going to remain forever. So the Rambam, that's what the Rambam writes, that's like the Dvarm Pshutim Adoy, those are the Tari Hamuna. Like a person has to believe that the Torah was given Liolam and Olam Maya. So the Rambam writes in the Chos Tshuva that if a person believes that the Torah was once true and then it's no longer true, so the Rambam writes that's a Kofa B'Torah. That's a Pikar, someone who's a Kofa B'Torah. So the Rambam gives as examples of different belief systems that believe in the authenticity of the Torah was, but it's been changed at a later generation. So the Rambam gives you, refers to the two other religions, refers to Christianity, refers to Islam. The only reason why it's not clear in the Rambam what he's referring to is because the census cut it out. But if you go into the old Rambam, he says Beferish, Kemoshim Ha'adeh, he refers to them by name, the different religions, that's exactly who they are. That their religion is Mamish Kfir B'Torah, because they believe in Torah's Moshe started, but then they don't believe in the 50 psukim that say that's never going to change. And they themselves agree to those psukim of Torah's Moshe. And some of them look the other way, they say they know everything was changed. So when the Sefer HaKuzari highlights this idea that everybody starts with the belief of Moshe Kibbutz Har Sinai, and then two out of the three religions veer, of course, so he highlights the fact that Judaism believes that Moshe Kibbutz Har Sinai, Bezel Satar, Mitzuyat V'Deni, and Sulu Moshe Rabbeinu, that we're still doing the same thing we've been doing for the last 3,000 plus years. So the Melech HaKuzarim in this discussion, in this dialogue, turns around to the rabbi and he says, it's not true. He says, you're just as guilty as the other religions are, because there's so much in the Chumash that you don't practice either. He says, you don't keep Tumah V'Tahara anymore. He says, it's a half a Sefer V'Yikra, it's about Tumah V'Tahara, and you don't keep that. So what's the difference between you don't keep Tumah V'Tahara and they don't keep Shabbos anymore? You don't keep Tumah V'Tahara, they don't wear tefillin anymore. It's the same thing. Remember, I was, years ago, I was in high school. One day I was sick, I was home from school. There was a knock on the door, and there were some missionaries who were coming to try to convince everyone to join their religion. So now I'm older, I would just not open the door. But then I was a young kid, so I figured, and I was bored. And my parents went home, so it's a good time, honey. So I remember the two people came to the door. I was smart enough not to let them in the door. We had the conversation outside. And they were spent 40 minutes or so trying to convince me to become, to join their religion. So I said to them, can I ask you a few questions? I said, sure, love to. So I said, I took out my tzitzis. I said, do you know what these are? I said, you know, in Numbers chapter 15, it says that you're supposed to wear fringes on your clothing. Do you wear them? It was not a woman. So she was two mitzvahs. She didn't know. I was going to tell her that. So she said, no, we don't practice that anymore. That's not part of our religion anymore. So I looked at the mezuzah. I said, you know what? Do you have this on your doorpost? Deuteronomy 6. I said, it says it explicitly that you shall write it on the doorpost of your homes. I said, it was like the week after Sukkot. So I said to her, did you spend a week, 7 days dwelling in a tabernacle, in a hut, in a booth? I said, what? I said Leviticus 23. I said, every chapter and verse. I said, I said, I don't understand. I said, you're coming. She's holding a Bible. She said, she's here to tell me to follow everything in the Bible. I said, you're coming to tell me about the Bible. I said, the first half of your Bible, you don't even know what it says. I said, you don't observe anything. I said, you don't observe Leviticus. You don't observe Exodus. You don't observe Numbers. I said, what are you telling me? You're trying to make me religious. I should be making you religious. You're not observing what you yourselves claim to keep. She was so taken aback. So she said, you know, we're going to talk to somebody else. We understand. You have a little bit of a different understanding. We're going to work on somebody else. So those are left. Anyway, so that's exactly what the rabbi tells the... I'm not recommending to do that. Just doing 16-year-olds. It's fun. So, that's what the Rav tells the Melech HaKuzarim, has to respond to that claim, because the Melech HaKuzarim turns around to the rabbi and says, but you guys also don't keep it. You don't keep all of Leviticus. You don't keep a half of Sefer Vayikra. So the Melech HaKuzarim, so the rabbi turns around to the Melech HaKuzarim and says, no, we observe everything it says in the Torah, exactly like they did in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. But look in the Chumash itself. The Chumash says, why do you have to be Tahor? You have to be Tahor when you come to the Beis HaMikdash. You have to be Tahor when you eat Karbonos. You have to be Tahor when you eat Ma'aseh Sheni. We don't have those things anymore. Never, it's not our fault. I mean, it is our fault. But we don't have a temple. We don't have sacrifices. We don't have Ma'aseh Sheni. We don't have Truma. So there's no reason for us to become Tahor. We observe Tumah V'Tahara. It's just that there's nothing to observe, because the Torah itself says you only observe these halachas if and when you have Kachim, you have Dvarim Kedoshim. So then the Melech HaKuzarim, this is all Rabbi Halevi, puts all these words, he made up the conversation. So then the Melech HaKuzarim responds back, really, according to that answer, that Tum V'Tahara doesn't apply when there's no Beis HaMikdash, so why do your wives still go to the mikvah? According to L'shitaschem, you shouldn't go to the mikvah either. So that's what Rabbi Halevi answers, the Lomdash answer. He says, no, you don't understand. Our wives don't go to the mikvah to become Tahoros. They go to the mikvah to become Mutaros. Because there's a din of Tumah Nidah and there's a din of Issa L'Bailah. Tumah V'Tahara don't have Bizman Azeh. We don't care that they're Tumah Nidah Bizman Azeh. But there's a separate din. One is Parshas Mitzayra and one is Parshas Achrei Mois. They're two different Parshas. One is Tumah Nidah, one is Issa L'Bailah. So the Issa L'Bailah we still have. The Tumah V'Tahara we don't have. That was the Rav Yosef Engel in Seif Asen Deraisa quotes this Rav Yehuda Halevi as a raya that the din of Tumah Nidah and the din of Issa Nidah not Tali Zeh B'Zeh. There's a Taisin B'Vakam V'Dachid Alf that says that the Kloli Hapsah Tumas Nidah and Issa Nidah are different. So Yosef Engel discovered this. He read every Sefer Kozari. He read everything under the sun. So he said, that Sefer Kozari holds like that Taisim of a Kamadah Fidalf. That's like a wild bikini. But anyway, getting back to the story. Not my wild bikini, his wild bikini. So getting back to the story. So why did I tell you this? Because the Rambam writes that Sefer Tumah V'Tahara is all chukim. It's all gzeirah. It doesn't make any sense in a rational way. So that's very understandable, because the same Rambam writes in the end of Sefer Avodah that the Beis HaMikdash also doesn't make any sense for us. Kabbalah also doesn't make it. It's all Gersakos. It's all Chukim. We will never really understand what the essence of Kabbalah are. The Rambam and Marina Vuchim, you know, try to give people who needed a little bit of a reason for mitzvahs, they need a little bit of a rationale. People who are never suffering from, they were so overwhelmed with Greek philosophy, they had to have something to hold on, to latch on to for rationality. So the Rambam and Marina Vuchim threw out this idea that it helps people get away from Avodah Zarah. That's the only reason for Karbanos. The Rambam himself writes, Temole, that's Exeris HaKosav. It's something we will never understand. The Rambam writes in Uchas Malachim, even when there's no Avodah Zarah in the world, and the Masa Mashiach, all the Karbanos is going to come back again. And the Rambam, Chalila v'Chalila, never meant to say that the only reason Moshe gave us Karbanos is that we should stop worshiping idols. That was one very small prop that the Rambam felt it was important to highlight for people who are reading Marina Vuchim. for what's the essence of the depth of Kavanas. It's a world, it's a whole, it's from the Chukim of the Chukim, the highest level Chukim. The Rambam writes that explicitly in Mishneh Torah. So the Rambam writes that Kavanas and Mikdash and all those things are all Chukim. So obviously Tum Vatar is going to be a Chayt Gomer. Obviously it's going to be something that we don't really understand. So of course Tfilah B'Mikvah is something which is an Olam HaSalyonim from the depths of the depths of Chochmas Hashem Yisbarach that we'll never really understand in this world. So the Rambam at the end of Sefer Tara, after he develops this whole idea, the end of Sefer Avodah, he develops the idea that Kutchim and Taras are things which are the Olamas, the Olamas should be Yisar. The Rambam writes, Af al pichein, remez yesh bedover. Even though the things will never understand the essence, but a little bit of a remez there is. So what's the remez? So the Rambam writes, the remez is that when a person becomes Tamei, what do you have to do to become Tahor? You have to go to water. You have to go into water. So the Rambam writes, just as when you become Tamei, you have to go into physical H2O, into water, so too when your mind becomes Tamei, and your heart becomes Tamei, and your whole become distant from the Ribbono Shel Olam, all kind of foreign things enter into being, into your Nishama, into your Kishkis, so what do you have to do? You have to go back to a source of water. What's water? Mehadas, says the Rambam, that you have to go back to the water of Torah, into the water of Chachma, and it's only through a total complete immersion in the water of Torah that a person is going to be able to be metahar themselves. So it's a mashal. The whole notion of the going to the mikvah is to be mechazik us that not only do we have to metahar ourselves from hilchos tuma, we have to metahar ourselves through the water of Torah from the other kinds of tumas as well. That's the last Rambam, that's how the Rambam concludes Sefer Tahar and hilchos mikvahs. So that mashal of the Rambam is very, very catchy. Rambam introduces its exasikosav, but Reb is yesh bedover. So there's another place which caught my attention where the Rambam has an identical lashon. Again, I'm not learning because every shav is in the Rambam, but there's no question that the Rambam used this phrase in two places because they're highlighting the same type of an idea. The Rambam in Hilchas Tshuva uses the identical phrase referring to the mitzvah of Tkiyah Shofar in Rosh Hashanah. The Rambam introduces by saying, Afa pi shetkiyah shofar shon gzeres hakosavi, which is exactly what he said, Afa pi shetkiyah b'rikus gzeres hakosavi. He uses the same phrase, Reb is yesh bedover. Exact same phrase. He's almost apologizing. Why am I telling you Reb is yesh bedover? I just told you gzeres hakosavi. It doesn't matter, says the Rambam. Reb is yesh bedover. What's the Reb is tkiyah shofar? Tkiyah shofar is from the Olam HaSalyonim, and from we can't begin to understand what's going on with Tzitzel and Shemayim and tkiyah shofar. The Rambam, the great quote unquote rationalist, the Rambam says the same thing. What's the remez? Uri Yishen and Mishnaschem, wake up and be Chayza B'tshuva. It's the opening bell of the Aseres B'tshuva. So it wakes a person up. It's an alarm clock that wakes a person up. Uri Yishen and Mishnaschem, and be remember the Ribbono Shel Olam, be Chayza B'tshuva. So it's the opening of the tshuva process. That's the Tkiyah Shofar. It's interesting. The Rambam begins the tshuva process with a moshel, with the remez yesh bedover, and the conclusion of the tshuva process, the tvila, which plays such a major role on Yom Kippur, is also remez yesh bedover. Both the tkiyah shofar and the tvila b'mikvah both point in the same direction. They both point in the direction of being chayzi b'tshuva. But look at the chazar b'tshuva that the Rambam is highlighting in those two quotes. The Rambam speaks about being toivel in the mehadas. In Chochmas HaTorah, getting into a sugya, learning a sugya with a sukkah dav gimel. So going through Bisham Bisil about the Shia Sukkah Bavav Bezayin, that's the Tvila B'Mehadas. What does that do with Tshuva? What's the connection between being Tevil the Mehadas and the Chazar B'Tshuva? So I think we may have spoke about it earlier this year. I don't remember, or in the past we sure spoke about it. Pashas Nitzavim, Kemitzvah Zayis. We talk about it this year? I don't remember. No? So we spoke about it in the past. Kemitzvah Zayis, Shemet Mitzav Chayon. So it's Machlokes and Rishonim. What's the mitzvah zois? What is the mitzvah exactly that the Torah is talking about? It's a very easy mitzvah to do. Lo b'shemayim, but we're not sure what the mitzvah is. So Rashi quotes from Mamor Chazal, referring to Talmud Torah. That's what the Gemara says. Lo b'shemayim, you can't find Tamil Chacham with the Balgaiva. Lo b'Eri Liyam, if you think you're going to run around and do business all day, you're never going to become Tamil Chacham. So it's referring primarily to Talmud Torah. Fichol v'okol asayso, nesudu lechem b'ksav v'alpeh. That's a Rashi learns pshat, quoting from Mamor Chazal. The Ramban, the Torah says, "Kemitzvah zayis," is referring to the pesukim immediately before about the shav and Hashem of Kecha, the mitzvah chazar b'tshuva. That's the mitzvah zayis. So, which one is it? Is it Torah or is it tshuva? So, in the Sefer Mishas Yaveh, Rav Jolti, he writes, "It's not a stir, it's not a machlokes. They're both right." Why? The Gemara says, "We said that the highest level of tshuva is tshuva me'ahava. How is a person going to reach Tshuva Me'ava? Such a lofty goal. Telling a throw a guy into Yom Kippur and say, okay guys, let's go Tshuva Me'ava. You got to get Tshuva Me'ava. How am I going to get there? The prerequisite of Tshuva Me'ava is that you love the Ribbono Shel Olam. If you don't love the Ribbono Shel Olam, how can you be chayav with Tshuva Me'ava? So you can't even begin getting into the batter's box of Tshuva Me'ava until you develop that relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, relationship with Ahava. How in the world does a person develop a relationship with the Ahava? That's the end of Hilchot Teshuvah. That's the last Raman of Teshuvah. That's the Raman Sefer Mitzvahs. That's the Sifrei. That's Rashi Torah. The more you delve into the Chochmas HaTorah, so the Rambam Hilchot Teshuvah speaks about the Chochmas HaTeva, and then the Rambam Sefer Mitzvahs talks about Chochmas HaTorah, but the more you delve into the Chochmas of the Ribbono Shel Olam, so you begin to develop a relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam, you begin to love the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Rambam's famous equation, the more you know about the Ribbono Shel Olam, the more you love him. Not all that different than the more you know about a spouse, the more you love the spouse. So So comes the Rambam and says that if you want to reach the point of Chazar B'Tshuva, and particularly primarily Tshuva Me'ava, you have to first throw yourself into the Mehadas. That's what Jolti says. It's not a machlekes Rashi Rambam. They're the same thing. The mitzvah of Talmud Torah / Chazar B'Tshuva / relationship with Avos Hashem. That is the mitzvah zois. The mitzvah zois is the relationship of Vekas and Avos Hashem, which carries with it the prerequisite of Talmud Torah, and it ultimately reaches fruition through the notion of a tshuva me'ahava. So that's exactly what the Rambam is telling us in the two places, that in Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam is saying, the process starts in Rosh Hashanah, Urishay Mishnaskam, it's a tshuva, beginning of the tshuva process. The tshuva ends in Yom Kippur, Lifnei Hashem Titaru, which is a combination. Lifnei Hashem Titaru is not either or. It's not either go to the mikvah or be chayav b'tshuva. It's the same thing, because going to the mikvah conjures up that imagery of tevil b'mehadas. When you go into the mikvah in Yom Kippur, Tommy goes to the mikvah, goes to the mikvah, what he's really doing is remez yesh b'davar. He's throwing himself into the mehadas. So it's all the same thing. It's all tshuva and tefillah b'mikvah, haynu hach, it's all the same thing. That's what all the Bali Musa point out, that this relationship between tshuva and tefillah b'mikvah and Avos Hashem and Talmud Torah, it's all the same thing. So just as by tefillah b'mikvah there are certain halachic guidelines, so too those guidelines govern tshuva and they govern Avos Hashem and they govern Talmud Torah as well. So the Rambam himself, in Hilchos Tshuva, gives the marshal, he says, if a person is chayav b'tshuva but doesn't stop doing averus, so the Rambam conjures up the image of tevel v'sheres b'yadai. If a person is tevel in the mikvah and doesn't take off the chatzitza, or a person is tevel in the mikvah and leaves that one hair out of the mikvah, it's no good. The tefillah is not acceptable. The same is true with Avos Hashem. The same is true with Talmud Torah. The same is true with Tshuva Me'ava. It has to be everything. It's like the all or nothing from yesterday. You have to throw yourself fully into it. If you can't get all, it's not all enough. If you can't get all, try the best you can. But if you want to really, really have an effective Yom Kippur, you want to have an effective Chazar B'Tshuva, you want to have an effective Talmud Torah, you want to have an effective relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam, you have to throw yourself in at first. It's like when you go into the pool and you stick your toe in, and it's very, very cold. So when you're little, you put your toe in, you know, a little bit. It doesn't work that way. So you got to jump in. And sometimes it's cold, sometimes it's you know, it scares you a little bit. It's a little bit, you know, it's hard a little bit. It's right. But as soon as you get in there, so all of a sudden you realize it's cool, it's comfortable, it's geschmack, it's kabbalic. And that's what Torah is. That's what the relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam is also. You have to throw yourself. How come you go? Every last hair and every last chatzit has got to come off, and you got to go yourself. All the shrots have to be thrown away. When you throw yourself in, not Rosh Yeruba, but Kulo, how come you go call into the Mehadas, into the Meh Torah, into the Meh Chu, the Meh Ava? So the results will be amazing. Lifnei Hashem Titaru has multiple meanings. It's a Lifnei Hashem Titaru of a Chiyuv Tevila, maybe. It's a Chiyuv of Tshuva. It's a Haftach of the Ribbono Shel Olam that you're going to be successful. They're not contradictory pshat. It's all Achaz Divel Kim Shtam Zoshemati. It's all the same. And the Ribbono Shel Olam dictated that word to Moshe Rabbeinu, Lifnei Hashem Titaru. It was all in there. It's all included. That's all that's part of the Kiddush Hayom Yom Kippur. So wish everybody a lot of Hatzlacha to reach these great heights. Tshuva and Avos Hashem Yisbarach and Talmud Torah. Hope Mitzvah Shem, after Yom Tov, we'll go run ourselves right into Sukkot, so we'll run right back to Masechta Sukkot Mitzvah Shem, and get back to the swing of things. Okay, so that's it for us, and then we'll come to the show later. Wish everybody a Gemach Sim Tov, and wish you a good, wonderful, enjoy.